You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Here we are the day after the election, November 9, 2022. Yeah, I'd like to go back to November 8, see if we can change things, but we can't. We are live streaming as I speak. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. That'll open up our Rumble page. Push it, you join us in studio. If you can't do it now, remember you can go back later and watch it as you choose at your pleasure. Audio broadcast of each program will be put up shortly after we wrap up today's program. And you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. It is very easy to find me. Larry Connors USA, branded everywhere. So if we're going to redo something, I'd have to say, well, really and truly, I mean, wasn't something wrong? Is there something that should be reinvestigated when it comes to... Let me put it to this way. How the hell did John Fetterman win over Dr. Oz? It was extremely close, but NBC News has called it for the state's lieutenant governor. Early this morning, ABC News followed suit. Fetterman getting 49% of the response. Oz getting 48%. That was with 88% of the vote tabulated as of 1 a.m., according to the New York Times. I've been watching for some additional update numbers. There's nothing that seems to be really changing. The results with key battleground states with vulnerable Democrats, Senator Masto, Democrat North Nevada, Senator Mark Kelly, Democrat Arizona. He is apparently still pulling away, and at the same time, you've got Kerry Lake running for the governor's office there that is saying, hey, wait, the race for governorship is not over. It might still change. If it does, the whole thought was that maybe her coattails would pull Blake Masters over Mark Kelly. I don't think that's going to happen. Senator Raphael Warnock, it's still going to have to be go to a runoff election, apparently. That will be in December. Ron Johnson winning in his race. Mike Lee winning, but without the support of Republican Mitt Romney. But Fetterman, having a stroke back in May, you saw if you watched the debate at all, the man has some real difficulties. And I don't take any joy in pointing that out. I'm just thinking, I can feel sorry for you, but I don't think you should be in a position of power. Especially a guy that wants to basically open jail cells and turn more killers loose and is willing to have heroin-free zones where he can shoot up without being arrested. Really? That's what you want in Pennsylvania? I really doubt a lot of Democrats wanted that. Maybe it was more of an anti-Trump vote because he endorsed Oz, but we'll have to do more digging going forward. We do know from exit polls, one national exit poll found that they were asked, would you like to see Biden run for president again in 2024? 66% said no. That was a CBS survey. 30% said yes. Now, Trump supposedly going to make an announcement on the 14th of this month. I don't know if the voting and what happened yesterday will affect it or not, but we'll see. And then there was a CNN exit poll. And again, these are folks coming out after they've already voted. As I mentioned in news and commentary, more than 7 in 10, less than satisfied with the way our country's doing, and a third just angry with the state of the nation. Control of the Senate and the House apparently still supposedly hangs in the balance, but I think the House is still probably going to go to Republicans, which means there will be a standoff. Biden was asked the other day, what if you lose both houses? He said it's going to be more difficult. Well, if he has a Senate, it won't be as difficult, but it still will be. And if you're interested in any fraud, We're getting reports that from the federal officials, they say they have not seen of the 8,800 jurisdictions they were checking, we have seen no evidence of any voting system deleted or lost or changed votes. In other words, it was all fair. That's according to the DOJ official word. I'm not questioning it. You can, but right now, let's just deal with the facts, which is other one other fact. In Ohio, they overwhelmingly approved, a constitutional amendment that clarifies illegal aliens are banned from voting in state and local elections. Now, we know they're already banned from federal elections. New York has allowed some to vote in city and state. In Ohio, they said, no way, Jose.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's the best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over for good? I've been rolling down the hill like a snowball headed for hell. No kind of chance for the flag, the liberty bell. I've been rolling down the hill like a snowball headed for hell. With no kind of chance for the flag, the liberty bell.
That does set the tone, doesn't it? I had a call today from John Bill, yes, one of my sponsors, and John just sent me the song, Merle Haggard's name on. I knew exactly what it was. I said, that's a great idea. And he said, well, I think it sets the tenor for a lot of things today, and I agree. The lyrics again, this is Merle Haggard, is the best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over for good? Are we rolling down hill like a snowball headed for hell with no chance for the flag or the Liberty Bell? There are other lyrics, but those are the key ones. I do want to give you some faith and belief that no, we're not going all the way at this point downhill without any chance. We do have chance, but we had some big chances yesterday which we did not pick up on. Merle Haggard's song notwithstanding, we still have some issues in front of us. Again, I want to thank those of you who are watching right now at rumble.com. I see more and more of you are joining. Again, you can go to rumble.com and get her in Larry Connors USA, and that'll take you right into the studio. Glad to have you. I should have worn my Merle Haggard black hat, be kind of one of the outlaws, along with Willie and Waylon and Merle, but I'm trying to be a good guy today. I'm trying. I'm wearing a black cap, but not a black hat, to the old cowboy hat. But here we go again, taking a look at this election from yesterday and what we can learn from it, what we should learn from it. Let me rephrase that still again, what we better learn from it. First thing, and this is going to upset a lot of folks, but I think you need to hear it. James Carville from Louisiana, you know, who advised Bill Clinton on what to do and told everybody when he was running against Bush, said, don't know about all that other stuff. Just focus on the main thing. It's the economy, stupid. And I thought the economy would be the same this time around. I think even James thought it was. He was already upset with some of these leftists. You're diddly-doddling over there on things. You mean nothing. You're talking about stuff that people don't care about. It doesn't involve them. They're worried about daily stuff. Well, it turns out, even though they might care about the others and they're upset with things are going, they still went in and went the other way on the election. And Carville says, we need to send a thank you note to Donald Trump. What do you think? What do you think? I think he does.
You put everything in a computer, we should have lost 57 seats.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
4 or 5 Senate seats. And the reason is really Donald Trump. I mean, he bought people out to vote against this. He had a suppressive effect. He out-Trumped inflation. He out-Trumped crime. He out-Trumped the normal cycle of the first off-year election with an incumbent president. I mean, I think when political historians unearth this, they're going to find so much more that we missed this morning.
And that raises big questions about what Trump is going to do with his announcement he said that he's going to make on the 15th of this month. I think originally he said the 14th. I think it has been changed to the 15th. Will the results of what we saw in this election change his mind? And then you contrast what we've seen across the nation to Florida, where DeSantis absolutely ran over his opponent. I mean, DeSantis, let me get the numbers against him and Charlie Crist. Crist, of course, had been a governor of Florida previously. DeSantis defeated him by 1.5 million votes. That was a point of many who were saying, if you're going to vote big and heavy so there can be no claim that it's too close, and you make sure it's clear, it cannot be faked or any fraud involved. And again, I told you, the national observers carrying out the election monitoring said there's nothing to indicate there was fraud anywhere. Where there's a votes maybe misplaced, some things here, but apparently there's nothing that approaches fraud that would change any election. We still have, at this point, 3 Senate seats left in play, one of them being Georgia. And that's going to go to a runoff election December 6th between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. Walker has been endorsed by Trump. That will be interesting to see how that plays at that point. And we also have 55 House seats left in play. I said earlier, I am pretty convinced that Republicans will end up holding the House, getting the House, I should say. They have 204 now. The Democrats have 176 that they've won. Remember, all House members are up for re-election every 2 years. But there's still 55 House seats left in play. You have to have 218 to hold the majority. So we're going to wait to see how that goes. But one thing that Carville also pointed out, if you're looking for how the hell, and as I raised it repeatedly, did John Fetterman, this guy wearing a hoodie all the time and basically campaigning out of his basement, as did Joe Biden, maybe they've discovered a new playbook, I don't know. But sitting down there, I don't know, in beanbag chair eating Cheetos for all I know, but the bottom line is he ends up beating Oz by 1%. That's not close enough to really challenge, and so far there's no indication that there's anything wrong with the voting. I say so far. But again, what happened in that race, according to Carville, Fetterman and Oz, of course, were the Senate race. But when you get past the Senate race, he said you need to look at what happened on the governor's race, because you had Shapiro running against Mastriano. Shapiro got 55.5%. Mastriano, 43.7%. That's in the Pennsylvania governor's race. Fetterman, 49%. Oz, 48%. Carr was saying, in addition to what Trump is doing to help, I think actually Shapiro is one of the new leaders.
Josh Shapiro got involved in a Republican primary, made sure that he had Mastriano. He did not run away from the crime issue. He won sufficiently that I would make the argument, and you could make the argument, that he had a large part to do with Fetterman winning the Senate race, because the differential was so big in this polarized environment, you can't do it. So Shapiro, who I barely know, but I think he's the candidate of the cycle.
Well, if that's true, if you look at the fact that Shapiro won 55.5 to 43% from Mastriano, if he pulled Fetterman even by 2 or 3 points, then that was enough to beat Oz. Could that have happened that way? It certainly could have. Carbo's I mock him and have fun with him sometimes, but he's a very smart strategician, and especially when it comes to politics. But within that same argument, Congressman Guy Reichenthaler, Republican of Pennsylvania, had his reaction to Fetterman winning.
I'm shocked. I thought Dr. Oz was going to win by 2 or 3%. I really did. The internal polling looked incredible. And I also thought we were going to have three pickup opportunities in terms of House races. What happened, though, Marie, is what we saw is we had so much headwind at the top of the ticket with Doug Mastriano. And that's not taking anything away from Doug, but Dr. Oz outperformed Doug Mastriano by 10 points, and it still wasn't enough. And it wasn't enough to get those House members across the finish line. So I'm shocked. I think what we underestimated is how radical the liberal base is. I mean, you had a guy that wants to release one-third of all prisoners, wants to do away with cash bail, wants to legalize all drugs, and that energized the base. That didn't turn off the Democrats. That brought them out in big numbers. Also, just how disingenuous it was for this guy to just like Biden, hide in the basement, shy away from voters.
But he also repeats what Carville did. He said, I think because Shapiro won by 10-plus points, that helped tug Fetterman over. However it happened, he's there. And he is extremist. And I would have said, anybody that votes for him, you also have to add your name and your address and say, when you release anybody from jail, they can come they can stay at my house. Maybe that would have changed things. Maybe that's what we need to enforce all the time. You want people free? You don't even know them? They're being held on murder, pedophile charges. You offer your house and say they can come there, and you live in that same house. We'll see how many of them stand by it then. There are bright spots, the biggest bright spot coming out of the Sunshine State, DeSantis. Nope, not DeSantis. Thiessen was also talking about how this whole race was a plus minus. Thiessen on talking about what did and did not happen for Republicans.
Florida was the silver lining in what was otherwise a very, very dark night. I mean, voters did us a favor. First, they reelected a great conservative Republican governor in Florida by historic margins. Second of all, they gave the Republican Party control of the House, which means that we can stop the miasma of spending, right? And third, they gave the Republican Party a wake-up call. So 75% of voters last night said that they were not only didn't like the direction of the country, they were angry about the direction of the country, and yet they voted for the status quo.
Right.
So why is that? It's because the Republican Party did not give them a viable alternative to vote for. They were begging for a viable alternative. We didn't. In Florida, we did. We gave them viable alternatives in Florida. It's in the other states that we didn't.
And speaking of Florida, again, DeSantis said, I found how we build this, and maybe it can be duplicated.
After 4 years, the people have delivered their verdict. Freedom is here to stay. We saw freedom, and our very way of life and so many other jurisdictions in this country wither on the vine. Florida held the line.
That's a great statement. I do believe that's true. But again, back to Mark Thiessen, who was a writer for the George Bush campaign, George W. Bush, and he said, even despite that, elsewhere across the nation, the GOP squandered their opportunities.
We nominated a bunch of people that the voters rejected in a lot of these Senate races. We have a situation, we have the worst inflation in 40 years, worst decline in real wages in four decades, worst crime wave since the 1990s, worst border crisis in American history, worst gas prices ever recorded, worst food prices since 1979, worst increase in shelter prices since 1984, worst labor shortage in American history, which is fueling inflation, and Joe Biden is the least popular president in the history of presidential polling, going back to Harry Truman, tied only with Trump occasionally. And voters looked at that. They looked at Joe Biden, and then they looked at what the alternative the Republican Party was presenting them, and they said, no, thanks. Mm-hmm. And we need to do some introspection as to why that happened. And the answer to the question is in Florida. The answer to the question is, what worked last night?
Yeah, what worked? DeSantis and being bold every step of the way. Congressman Tom Emmer, the chair of the National Republican Congressional Committee, declined to pinpoint any specific reasons for why the White House Republicans did not perform as expected. He said, no one said this was going to be easy, but he still defended the election results. He said House Republicans accomplished their goal by taking back the majority, although CNN has yet to declare that. But he said, we delivered on our goal, which was taking back the majority. But on the others, on the Senate races and how we could have won even bigger, and in governor races and so forth, well, they say the knives are coming out inside the Republican Party. First, J.D. Vance is a winner. Him coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Here's the thing. We've been given an opportunity to do something, and that's to govern. And to govern to make the lives of the people of Ohio better, that's exactly what I aim to do. And because of you, I get a chance to do it. I got a call from Tim Ryan, of course, about a half an hour ago, conceding the election. It was very gracious, and I appreciate Tim making the effort there. Look, I know Tim Ryan. We obviously disagree on a lot of issues. The guy loves the state of Ohio, and I appreciate the gracious phone call. I appreciate the effort that his campaign put in.
That is Republican J.D. Vance, who did have an endorsement from former President Trump, winning Ohio's open Senate race against Congressman Tim Ryan. Vance has a best-selling memoir titled Hillbilly Elegy, chronicling the deindustrialization of Middletown, Ohio, where he grew up, ran his campaign centered around a nationalist revision to revive America's manufacturing base with tariffs, strict industrial policies. He's also campaigned with labor union leadership across Ohio. For years, the Democrat Party had long ties to the union bosses. But in Ohio, many of those ties were going against the union membership's belief. So Vance ended up winning. Now, I want to point out to you that in Ohio, they spent $202 million in that race. Not just him, but total spent in the Senate race for Ohio, $202 million. Wisconsin, $205 million. Arizona, still undecided, $234 million. Georgia, still undecided, $271 million. Pennsylvania, Fetterman wins, $373 million spent just on the Senate race between Fetterman and Oz. A lot of Republicans are reconsidering and thinking, what did we do wrong, what we could have done right? And I am looking at a piece here that I think is titled correctly. It's on Fox News, said congressional Republicans are reckoning with disappointing election results. One source says the knives are out. When the knives are out, you better be real careful who you turn your back on. They're talking about, according to one Republican source they're quoting, saying, I think we get to 218. That would be the House majority. But as I told you earlier, we still have something like, I think there are 55 seats still up for grabs in the House. Let me double check that. It might have been just updated. 53 House seats still left in play. It's changing even as I read and watch it, but it still stays at 53. And then we got 3 Senate seats left in play. It's very possible, again, Republicans will get the House, but Democrats will control the Senate. That's a deadlock. Nothing that comes out of the Senate is likely to be passed through by the House. Now, it is possible some things, if they can get some people to side with them inside the House, they get in the Senate, that some of the Senate rhinos would decide, let's go along with the leftist view. We'll see. But Biden has already been asked about, if they lose both houses, how tough it's going to be. And he said, flat out, he said, it's just going to be difficult, more difficult. I want to make it as difficult as hell. He's not quite a lame duck president under this. He's got Senate in there battling for him. And the key with the Senate, I remind you, the same way I reminded you when Trump was running against Hillary. Whether or not you like Trump, put that aside. The Senate does the confirming of Senate nominees, the presidential nominees to various positions, cabinet, and especially the Supreme Court. We also have to keep in mind that these that have been elected, if they're newly elected, they're not going to be sworn in until after January. How much damage can Democrats in the House and Senate do before there's a change in January? I'm going to try to schedule a guest on that tomorrow to get into it in more detail. When we come back, let's go to another state. We talked about how great Florida went and how well it went for them. Another state would be Texas. Yep, red state, but it's got some very blue center areas. Beto O'Rourke has been trying his best to fight. What can I win in Texas? I ran against Cruz. I can't win. I can run as a governor. I can't win that. Some folks are mocking, say, this guy spends more money, and he's helping basic pollsters buy new boats, but he's not winning anything. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to thank all of the volunteers, all of our supporters, and my fellow Texans for making this victory night possible. Thank you all. So let's go back. We started this campaign in South Texas. We celebrated my primary victory in South Texas. Tonight, we return to South Texas to celebrate my re-election for you being your governor for 4 more years. So I ran this campaign for Texans to have safer streets, for homeowners who are burdened with skyrocketing property taxes, for our oil field workers who beg for me to protect their jobs, for parents who just want to choose the school that's best for their child. and for small business owners who thanked me in every location I went to for keeping their jobs open and businesses open during the time of COVID. I ran for the farmers and ranchers down here on the border who pleaded for a more secure border in the state of Texas. And I ran for the thousands of Texans who came up to me and they said, Governor, just keep Texas, Texas.
Just keep Texas, Texas. Don't mess with Texas. It's always been a great line down there. It's referenced littering the roadways. Don't mess with Texas. They're very hard about folks throwing trash out on the highway, and I'm glad. But there was Governor Abbott winning re-election, and he ran and won on the very points he just outlined for you. Now, Beto O'Rourke ran against him, of course, but fell short again. This Beto O'Rourke has tried everything he can. He did it with Ted Cruz. I'm sure Ted would appreciate me calling him Tom Cruise. But in recent weeks, O'Rourke was campaigning heavily on protecting abortion rights across Texas. But that fell flat because voters were focused primarily on inflation, economy, crime, and immigration. He'd also been attacking Abbott for busing border crossers and illegal aliens to sanctuary cities like Chicago, New York City, and D.C. They said they were a sanctuary city. Give them some. But they're raising another issue. Abbott was quick to point out, because he was delivering his acceptance speech in McAllen, Texas. McAllen is bordered to the south by the Rio Grande. And just across the Rio Grande is Mexico. And in some times of the year and other times not, but you can either walk or swim right across the Rio Grande, right from Mexico, and you're right in McAllen. Not just the state of Texas, you're in McAllen. And that's why, again, Governor Abbott said, I want to celebrate this victory here in southern counties of Texas.
The ground on which you are standing right now is now going to be represented for the first time by an Hispanic Republican woman, Monica de la Cruz. She'll go to Congress, and the first thing she will do is to fire Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. But it's bigger than that, because Republicans that we endorsed were elected from Nueces County to Cameron County, Hidalgo County, and all the way over to Terrell County on the border, and counties in between. So I want to say tonight, congratulations to the next generation of Republicans who were elected tonight. They will be tremendous representatives at whichever level they serve.
And again, it points out those same counties were deep blue, and a couple of them had never even approached going red, not even purple. The Democrat Party has lost both Hispanic and black voter support since the 2020 election. And, of course, the Wall Street Journal put out a poll, and I discussed it the other day. It was released Monday, as to how far they've fallen, specifically with Hispanics. In August, Hispanic voters favored Democrats by 11 points. By 11. They like Democrats. In October, that lead was cut to just 5 points. And in 4 years, Democrats had lost Hispanic support by 26 points. Why? Well, one, many Hispanics are Catholic, and they believe in the sanctity of life. And they're also very big about nuclear families holding together. And they're also showing that we're not a monolithic voting bloc. We will decide for ourselves, as many black Americans have decided, as Asian Americans, in whatever religion or other race you want to bring in. Folks are deciding, I don't have to be led around by the nose. I can think for myself. Contrary to what Stacey Abrams was saying the other day, that she's not getting a lot of black men voting for her, and yes, she did lose dramatically in a race against Kemp a second time. She was saying that black men are being fed disinformation. in the spots that are running inside NBA games and so forth. She doesn't think they're smart enough to figure out what they want to do on their own? That doesn't... Anyone else said that, they'd be called immediately a chauvinistic. You know, female chauvinist, whatever you want to call it. By the way, speaking of votes and how they turned out, I mean, things went really great in Florida.
We chose facts over fear. We chose education over indoctrination. We chose law and order over rioting and disorder. Florida was a refuge of sanity when the world went mad. We stood as a citadel of freedom for people across this country and indeed across the world.
That is Ron DeSantis. Every elected position in Florida now is held by a conservative. Every elected position. That's a full red wave there. Now, it amounted to a trickle or a sprinkle, or maybe it didn't even show up on the Doppler anywhere for other states. Of course, you know, in the state of Missouri, one of the issues they also had in front of them is, are you ready to legalize marijuana for recreational use? That was Missouri Amendment 3. I'm sure by now many of you know, especially if you took an active interest in it, it was approved for adults 21 years of age and over. It legalizes recreational marijuana. It will also change Missouri's constitution to take away prohibitions for buying, possessing, using, selling marijuana. That entire amendment is something like 38 pages long. And there would be a registration card allowed for personal cultivation within some limits. So we're going to see a lot of that change as we go forward. Legal Missouri 2022 put $6 million into that campaign to get the initiative petition collecting signatures. They ended up with $400,000 when they only needed $170,000. So it ended up going forward. Now, in California, I want to share this story with you because this is a... In California, yeah, they legalized marijuana. But here's something else I want to point out for you. Ironically, as of the last check, California voters overwhelmingly voted for a state constitutional amendment that would enshrine the right to have an abortion until birth. Until birth. Stop and think about that. Birth is when the baby's actually coming out, being born. Maybe even has been born and the umbilical cord hasn't been cut, and maybe they haven't cleared the nose and throat so it can start breathing. I don't know where they call that point, but they're willing to do that, and they were allowing it to happen, and they're all about it. But they turned down some other ballot measures, and two of them would have expanded sports gaming and gambling in the Golden State. Now, I know I hear some of you already, what do you mean? They're willing to have a law that guarantees abortion until viability? But now they turn right around and do not want gambling. You know how they got defeated? Voters, overwhelming majorities, rejected that proposition, 26, to allow sports betting on tribal lands. And also Proposition 27, which would allow online sports betting outside tribal lands. I don't understand the thinking in that state on some of those things. I really don't. They do not want gambling or gaming off the tribal lands, and they don't really want to have that much on the tribal lands. But if you want to have an abortion, I wonder what the rule would be if you want an abortion at the moment of delivery on a tribal land. Is anybody written that up? Anybody looked at it? Probably not. I want to share some additional thoughts with what happened yesterday and where we go from here. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Let me share some pieces, or a piece written by Jim Garrity from the National Review Daily. I'm going to read a lot of this. So again, I always like to give you the source, because one, you're entitled to know, and I don't want to be pulling the wool over your eye and trying to say, well, this is a clean, unbiased source, and you should believe everything I say. Never do that. Never believe me factually without questioning. I just don't believe that you should ever do that. I think you should question anything and everything, be it a radio talk show host with 50 plus years in broadcasting and ethical journalism, or somebody just got out of school. You need to do some of your own study. So I want to share some of that, but before I do, I want to share with you an example of something that you have to say, what? What? I was listening to ads that were actually running up through yesterday in Sean Hannity's program on the radio. And they were talking about MSNBC, we will watch the midterm elections, we will define it for you, Rachel Maddow will interpret it for you. And I thought, you think they're not even near their choir when they're doing that? Do they really think they're going to get Sean Hannity viewers? I would have loved to have the money they were spending on his program, put it into my program. I don't think you're getting by here either, but I'd like to take the money. But here's Maddow on the election coverage. She's always accused the far right of using conspiracy theories, and she then started her own last night talking about Arizona. She said, when we talk about stuff in Arizona, because of our experience and what we saw in big counting sites in Arizona, one of the things we had to think about, it's an open carry state, and a lot of the far right in Arizona has been willing to use their open carry privilege as a form of political intimidation. Wow, okay. But you know what? There's no evidence to back it up. She offered none. No one said, yeah, weapons have been used to intimidate anyone. It just hasn't happened. None of it. But if you can say whatever you want unchallenged and your audience is going to gobble it up, may I have another helping, please? Well, then so be it. Now to this Jim Garrity piece for National Review. Here's the way it goes. On the menu today, well, that was awful. The much-touted red wave felt more like a red splash in a kiddie pool. Now I'm going to rumble through in different parts of this thing for you. And he adds, I don't ever want to hear another Republican claim he stands for the silent majority. As I warned in September, if your silent majority does not show up to vote in large numbers, it doesn't have that much say in how this country is governed. We could even argue a silent majority that doesn't vote might as well not exist at all. I agree with Jim Garrity on that. He also adds, I don't know if Ron DeSantis became the front runner for the 2024 Republican nomination last night. I know he should be the front runner now. He's far and away the strongest candidate, has led a sweeping change in the country's most consequential states. He said Trump is preparing, of course, to make a presentation on what his decision will be. And he said Donald Trump wants to announce he's running for president later this month. Why? What's he got to offer? Now, I know that's upsetting some Trumpers out there. I know that, but think it through. Think it through and look at what happened. James Carville is claiming we should send a thank you note to Donald Trump because he helped a lot of the Democrats win. His endorsed candidates, they did well in the primary, but not in the general. J.D. Vance won. I didn't think Vance would. That's one he endorsed who did win. But Jim Garrity in the National Review continues saying, but beyond Florida, Election Day 2022 was largely a debacle for Republicans. He said a strong wind was blowing in the Republicans' direction, but far too many of their ships refused to reel in their heavy anchors. He said, in Pennsylvania, you can credit Mehmet Oz for being the little engine that could and fighting back after trailing badly early in the campaign. But in the end, it was the Ford Pinto that won. Fetterman off the trail for 3 months. When he returned, he could barely campaign. But that one debate went as badly for Fetterman as it possibly could, and yet Fetterman ends up winning. He also points out of some other races. He said, basically, my takeaway from all this is that Americans are tired of the circus, the freak show, the in-your-face. All controversy is good. Trump-influenced wannabes. The country's got real problems. They won't be solved by table-pounding pop culture celebrities who want to be on populist rage on Hannity. He said, maybe that shtick will win you a primary. If you're in a sufficiently Republican-leaning district or state, you'll be okay. But the country is full of Republic, or rather of purple and light blue states that the GOP needs to win if it wants to steer the ship of state. And there's where he made the statement I read earlier. Donald Trump wants to announce he's running for president later this month. Why? What's he got to offer? And to that extent, he also adds this note. And this one line that occurred earlier in the copy, but I rewrote his piece. Now, I'm not considering that I'm such a great editor, but I thought it works best here. After going through all the litany of the things I discussed, he put it earlier in it, but I think it's a great closing line. Are you ready? If you can't elect a lot of Republicans in an environment like this, when can you? Point made. Well, we are where we are. We need to come together as a country again and figure out how to move forward. Protect the unborn, protect our children from cult predators in classes, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.